morning.
But you know, Bible tells us now, these three things abide, right? And the grace, the basis love. And we hear a lot about faith, and then, you know, faith by the church. We hear a lot about love, but I want to talk about hope today.
Okay.
And see how powerful that is, because there is hope in something we have not received yet in our inheritance, in our portion. We haven't got there yet. But it's all to do with hope. And I was reading in the book of Romans where it's the Holy Spirit, you know, we've been studying on the Holy Spirit, but it says that he wants this hope to abound in us, you know. We know that. I was wondering, kind of stating on this, if hope could be measured, you know, but it can, you know. He wants to abound to us, so, you know, love, you know, great love, greater love than this, no man hath to lay down his life for his friends. But hope, we want to get our hope up this morning.
Yeah.
We want it to abound.
Yeah.
And it all has to do with the word. But anytime you see hope in the scriptures, it's related to the resurrection. Whether it be the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ or the resurrection of the old mortal bodies. You know, a lot of times at funerals, we hear, you know, 1 Thessalonians, you know, talk about, you know, our bodies being quickened, you know, they read that scriptures. But, you know, we need to study that apart from the funeral service. A lot going on in our minds there at funerals, going to other ways. But if we're studying those things, this body. But I want to talk about the body that we will receive one of these days.
Glory.
The Bible says it'll be a glorious body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's likened unto the body of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, when he rose from the dead, his resurrection. And he had this body. And, you know, on his walk to Emmaus with them folks there, you know, they didn't quite recognize him, did they? I mean, they finally got where they was going, and they said, you know, did our hearts burn within us? You know, how he was talking to us, but they didn't recognize him. And maybe he had his head covered, I don't know. But in spiritual bodies, you know, the Bible talks about we entertain angels unaware sometimes. And it says there, I think it's in the 20th chapter of John, Jesus said that our bodies will be likened to the angels. You know, and scripture says angels excel in strength. You know, angels come and strengthen Jesus. And Revelation talks about strong angels. Mm. But our bodies will one day be forever young, forever strong.
Yeah.
And think about this, you know, if we can transform our bodies, I'm not saying don't go saying and build a nose, but just think, if we can transform our immortal bodies, just think of hide and seek there in heaven, you know. In the Father's house, you know, playing hide and you can transform yourself. Man, you talk about a good game, that'd be good. But glorious body. And ladies, you know, I got thinking from the ladies' aspect. You know, you have Hollywood and New York and Paris kind of putting you in a, you know, you know, comparing your bodies, you know, and, you know, you get on the computer and, you know, there's J-Lo at 50 years old in a bikini and, you know, they trying to say some goo and cream and shampoo.
Makeup, yes.
But you know, 50 more years, put J Lo in that same bikini, you know, that flesh ain't gonna look so good. So scriptures tell flesh and blood ain't gonna be there.
Right.
It's gonna be, you know, a great body. And it's the Lord Jesus that gives it to us. And you know, he's not gonna create anything. I mean, everybody's gonna be gorgeous.
Amen. Yeah. David, are you saying it's not going to be no ugly people in there? Everybody going to look good.
Everybody going to look good. Hey. I agree with that.
Hey, have fun.
To tell you the truth, there's no ugly people on earth in God's eyes.
Not in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, we're talking about men's eyes.
Beauty's in the
eyes
of the
beholder. That's what David's talking about.
Now, it's some people that don't look desirable, you know. But in the eyes of the beholder, there's somebody looking at them and saying, they look great. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful. And see, we look on the outer, but God looks on the
heart. Yeah.
They may be beautiful.
Just imagine if your heart manifested, that's really what you look like.
Have y'all ever seen?
Woo, that's
good. Repeat that.
Just imagine what you would look like if your heart became outward.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Like when Jesus took his earth suit off. And, in Mount of Transfiguration, when he took his earth suit off.
That was actually what his heart looked like.
Yes, amen.
That's pretty cool.
Good. That's good.
Because if he looks at the heart, that's where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Getting on that. So have y'all ever just looked at some babies that was just ugly?
Yeah.
And all you can say is look at their head.
That's what I'm
all you can do is look at their hands and say, look like a football player hands, or a piano player, or
there's
some babies out
hands.
There that look like, but in the eyes of the beholder, the mom,
and daddy.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the show Seinfeld. They had an episode on there where that was, when they look at the baby, they really wanted to throw up. It was so ugly. But the mom and dad just doted over it. Oh my gosh. They never showed the baby. But everybody looked at the baby. It was just hideous.
Yeah. Anyway,
Daddy, you see what you done created this morning.
Yeah. But anyway, with body, I was kind of thinking about Wynn this week, too, that, Scriptures tell us, the things are sown in weakness. Our bodies, they fizzle out and they fade. But this new body, one thing I'm gonna look him up in heaven one of these days.
Okay.
I'm gonna say when, I'm gonna arm wrestle. not to see who wins or anything, but to just feel the strength of an immortal body.
That's right.
And we reflect on that which was sown in weakness is raised in strength. I believe we'd do stuff like that.
I don't think you'll have to. I think you'll know. I think you'll know. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to bring us to another level that we can't even comprehend. It's going to bring us to where we're supposed to actually be.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve and everything, if you really study on who they really were, they were perfect beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about this. Just think about this scenario. He was able to name every animal that was.
Yeah,
never been to college now. Never.
I'm talking even the bugs. Everything.
Never been to college.
And remember it.
And remember it all.
Amen.
Never had a degree at Harvard or any of those great colleges.
But they were perfect people.
And I read somewhere, I heard a preacher or somebody say that the glory, they had the glory of God on them, so they'd be like a light would just kind of cover you.
Yeah.
That's why they knew they wasn't naked, because they were covered in God's glory.
Exactly.
When they sinned, that went away. That glory, went away.
Just off making a bad decision.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Disobedience.
That's good.
And we studied on that glory not too long back what it was. Mm-hmm. The glory was the love between the Father and the Son.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fellowship.
And just think if we got a body that reflects
that
the love between the Father and the Son.
Yeah.
How great that body is.
And living forever in that state.
In that state.
Man. Growing, and we'll always be growing.
Always be growing. See, that's the mercy of God is why Adam and Eve was taken away from the tree of life. Because if they'd have gotten them, we would never live in sin with corrupt bodies that decayed and had disease and disease.
And by principle, his work, he couldn't have redeemed them.
Yes.
He could not have redeemed them.
Right.
Now, that don't mean that he couldn't redeem them, but if he went by his word or his principle, he could not have redeemed them. Because they would have been living forever in this state of sin.
Oh, yeah, that'd have been horrible.
And just
imagine,
it'd
be horrible that you had a pain or disease that constantly.
Well, and think about this, too. Just imagine, how many times have you changed your thought patterns on different things just in the short time you've been alive?
Yes.
It's really short.
Yes.
Just imagine living 800 years, how many times you would change your opinion on certain things, and it could even cause wars. It could cause all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. Just because of that one aspect.
Wow.
That's the truth. There's no way he could have allowed us to live like that.
No.
Because he wanted to redeem man. He wanted.
Yes.
To, Y'all, we don't have to cut. You done stirred us up.
I'm gonna ask a question.
It's yours.
I know you spoke with Miss Kathy there in her end there, but I think about that with her, maybe was her hope, did it outweigh her faith? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I can see that.
You know, well, she could have.
She was just saying she was at peace.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, you at what? I'm just at peace. You know, I mean, I'm like, okay.
She made her decision.
I could not, I was nowhere, you know, near that I could go to her. Actually, I was out of town. Mm-hmm. And, but she saw a greater glory.
Amen. She had a close encounter.
Well, see, Dick was, my husband Dick was the same way. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go home, and he had been that way for years. I mean, he just loved, you know, that was his blessed hope. And when he was sick, you couldn't really come against him, because all he wanted to go with the Lord, and he didn't want to hurt. The man never hurt in 5 or 6 months he lived. And the doctor said when the last time we took him for something, he said he should be in excruciating pain because he's eat up, and he did
Lord.
Not hurt. Mm-hmm. When he passed away in my house with me.
Wow.
And I can tell you right now, the only reason I gave him morphine for a couple of days was for me. To make sure he wasn't hurting. But they said, if he was hurting, you'd know it, no matter mm-hmm. what you did to him.
That's right.
And so, how do you come against that? Blessed hope. Like you said, the resurrection. That was Dick. That's what he wanted.
Amen.
And he took care of me tremendously, too. So, it was an asset. So, mm-hmm. how can you come against it?
So, guys, is your hope built up?
Amen.
Amen. I pray that it is. Come on, Miss Mary.
All right.
We thank you for this.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your help, Lord Jesus.
Shaka-tata-tia.
And we thank you for what you did for us. We thank you for your love and tender mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is in Acts. There's a question that for the last 20-something years that I've been a Christian, everything, it first started at Christian Service Mission. We used to have Muslims come by and get different products and everything, you know, to give to different people and stuff at Christian Service Mission in Birmingham. And they used to tell me, and I've heard it so many, so I'm talking unreal how many times. They used to tell me all the time that Christianity, they would never be a Christian because it was a white man's religion. And Islam is a black man's religion. Now, did Jesus know that? Listen to what I'm about to tell you. It just blew me away. Boy, he knew that. Remember me telling you that Jesus is like this guy, man, who shoots from a sniper rifle the eye out of a dime from centuries away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's what he does. But listen to what he did here. Now, Jewish people could not stand Gentiles. They were dogs to them. That is the truth. The mentality, any Gentile, I don't care who they were, the mentality was you were a dog because you were not God's chosen people. That was their mentality. Okay? Simon in Acts chapter 8. Not Simon, I'm sorry, Philip. The angel of the Lord and everything tells him to go, okay? And there's a reason why he wants him to go. An Ethiopian eunuch, a court official, he was a high-ranking dude, okay? Mm-hmm. Of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. She was queen of Ethiopia, and Ethiopia is black. Okay, listen to what I'm about to tell you now, mm-hmm. okay? Who was the very first convert of the Gentile?
The Ethiopian eunuch.
The black man. That's how come Jesus knew that. Jesus knew this right here was going to happen. And the reason why this happened in our society is because of what happened with slavery. It caused the hatred and everything to build in them. And Islam is mostly hate. That is the truth. And they identify with it.
Yeah, we're in today with them.
They identify with it. Mm-hmm. And this right here, though, I always use the scripture and everything, you know, God doesn't have no distinction between Jew and Greek, which that is true. Mm-hmm. But this identifies, the very first Gentile convert was a black dude. Mm-hmm. That is the response to that question. It blew me away because somebody said it the other day on this one video on YouTube. And I didn't have the answer was, you know, just that, but this.
buddy, that's it. Jesus already knew that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
There's the answer to that question. That's God good. Always answers your question. I don't care what it is.
That's right.
Always.
And he amen. Loves
you. Amen, amen, amen. Let's just lift our hands. Thank you for that so much. Don't turn me on right now. Let's just lift our hands. One of the things I just want y'all to know that God wants eagles. Eagles Christians, those that would just mount up. But you can't mount up by yourself. We're going to go to Isaiah and see that we need a little help on mounting up. We talked about the eagle last week. And we're revisiting the eagle because Miss Mary Ward, you know, she's been around for a long time, and we listened to her. When she speak, we listen. Okay? And my spirit accepted that request of going back, revisiting the eagle. Praise God. And who better can talk about the eagle than the eagle-eyed prophet? That's what we call him. Because he's seen down through so many generations, through 42 generations. He saw when that child was born. Woo. Amen. He said unto us, just like he was there, just like he was right there in the midst. And Paul picked it up in Hebrews. He said, they didn't receive that promise, but they embraced it like it was so. Praise God. We're going to go back to Hebrews. But let's go to Isaiah 40, and for the sake of time, let's start. I'm dealing with time, and I'm trying to see where we want to start. Okay, let's start at 27. Let's just start there. Why says thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Now, Isaiah, the eagle eye prophet, is asking them the question. He said, has there not known? He told them, you're going in the name of Jacob. You're going in the name of Israel. And sometimes we go in the name of the church. We say, you know, we're church, we're believers, we're body of Christ. And and this is the question that Isaiah is presenting to these people that has seemed like has lost their hope. I mean, they were against a lot of situation and circumstances, and they really just couldn't see God. And sometime in our life, we walk through things that keep our focus and vision off of Jesus. But here Isaiah is giving them comfort and putting their focus back on Jesus. He said, has there not known? Has there not heard that the everlasting God? He's saying, you're Jacob. You're saying you're Israel. Surely you have heard. You have heard. We come to church. Time after time, we have heard. And he's just getting their focus back and trying to get their hope back. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary. See, they were about to faint. They were weary. Things was going on in their lives, you know. He said, but hey, hold up. You Israel, you Jacob. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting. He don't faint. Thank God. And he don't get weary. You never have him up there wondering, oh, what am I going to do with these people? I just don't know. You know? They're too much. You know? He don't faint. I told you he don't even take naps. He neither sleep nor slumber. Don't even take naps.
Amen.
You know? This week I was feeling so sleepy. I said, I really need a nap. Although I didn't take it, but I felt like I really needed one, you know? But he never sleep nor slumber. That's the reason we can rest good at night.
Amen.
Because we got somebody watching over us that never sleep nor slumber.
Jesus.
dresses good at night. Every time I've been with her, she don't move for 8 or 9 days.
I rest good. Rest good. Okay, the 28th verse says, the Lord, the creator, the end of the earth fainteth not. The creator, he trying to focus them back. Man, we're talking about the creator.
Yes.
The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither weary. There's no searching of it. You can't even search out his understanding. It's too much for you. Now he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, what does he increases?
Strength.
Strength. What is might? Might is the ability to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you have no might, he increases your strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. What he was saying, he said, they can't pump, the youth can't pump enough iron. They can't have enough energy. But at some point in their minds and things, they're fainting. Even if they're young, even if they, you know, you look at them, a young man, you think of strength and all this. He said, but even they will faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Do you know what shall mean?
It will happen.
Yeah,
it would absolutely happen. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. This is where we want to touch on.
Yes.
They shall mount up, going up. Praise God. It's time now for the church.
Amen.
You know, Isaiah picked it up in 60 and said, church, arise. Get up. Get up. But your light has come. You need to shine. You know, you need to rise up. So he said, they shall mount up with wings. The eagle's strength is in his wings. He has strength in those wings. And when I was reading about the bald eagle and the golden eagle, when they stretch out their wings, it equals up to at least 7 feet.
Yeah.
Just think that.
Right.
Think about it. Oh my God, 7 feet.
Pound for pound, they're the most powerful creature out there. Pound for pound.
The what?
They're pound for pound, they're the most powerful creature out there.
You know, this creature is a creature on the earth that God has given us a glimpse. See, this culture was very familiar with the eagle because they spent a lot of time outside and what. Now, Solomon picked it up like this in the book of Proverbs 30:19. He said, there are three things, and then he said, no, it's four things. Mm-hmm. He said, there's three things that's too great for me. And one of the things he said, the way of the eagle up in the air. I mean, that's just too wonderful for me. I just can't. Because that culture really knew about eagles. Now, we don't know a whole lot about eagles now. We know that eagle is one of the things that the United States uses. To say strength. But you know, like I was telling y'all last week, they don't realize when you use the eagle on anything, it's talking about your strength coming from God.
Amen.
Not from man. And when this country can go back and know that their strength come from God and not man. Okay, Isaiah's getting them to mount up because they're down too low. They're down with the chicken. Chickens can't mount up.
Nope.
Only eagles can mount up. And this is how God has pictured us as. Now, when we studied the eagle last week, we said that he was the only bird that could go into the heavens so high till he look at the sun, go up there where the sun is, and stare the sun right in its eyes, the S-U-N. The only earth bird that's not really bound, he can operate in the heavens. And that's where God is trying to get a people to operate from the heavens. We're seated in heavenly places. That's where our operation, he wants us to operate from heaven. Not from the earth with the chickens. We're eagle Christians. Yeah. We can soar.
Yeah.
And not only that, I ran out my time, but one of the other things, that just the strength of the eagle. We talked about the vision of an eagle. Mm-hmm. Now think about it now. If he can get up there where the sun is, he can go out, he's the only one that can go all the way up there where the sun is, the S-U-N, and stare in the eyes. I mean, just stare at it. And we down here, I got my sun visor down, looking for my sunglasses. I mean, nowhere near the sun, but just a reflection of it. We just can't hardly deal with it, you know? We're doing everything just to be able to see, sunglasses, sun visor, this, that, you know. But here's the eagle. And people of God, the sun has invited us to be seated with him in heavenly places. Ha! All principality, power. He's invited us to sit there with him. Praise God. And one of the problems when I was in the first grade that I can kind of remember, kids didn't want to stay in their seat. The teacher was always saying, get in your seat, get in your seat, get in your seat. And this morning I'm telling you, get in your seat, get in your seat. You're seated in heavenly places. When you're seated up there, you see things differently down here on earth. They look so small, insignificant. You can't see them, and they're under your feet. You know? You get a different perspective, a different picture of things. We talked about the strength of the eagle. We talked about the vision of the eagle. And we're not going to get a chance to discuss the swiftness of the eagle, how God is putting things in acceleration. I know things look a little tacky now, but God is going to accelerate some things. Praise God. Okay, I do want to, let me just finish this out, and then I want to go back to Hebrews. And okay, so he was getting these people in the right view of God, the right perspective of God, who he is. Church, let's get the right perspective of him and what he wants to do. Okay, after he gave him the right perspective of him, he said in the 31st, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I said that it's a lot of writing. I mean, a lot of the writers in the New Testament took a lot of things from Isaiah, out of the book of Isaiah. Even Jesus said, hey, I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And it's repeated. A lot of things are repeated in the New Testament. And we see this in Hebrew 12th chapter, 1 through the 3rd verse. It says, wherefore sin we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The witnesses he's talking about is in the 11th chapter. The ones that didn't get a chance to really see the promise at the time that they were talking about it. But they embraced it like it was so true. They did their things by faith. And he said, wherefore sin we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us, he's including himself too, lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the reason Isaiah said race, run, because we are in a race. And that's the reason he used run. And that's the reason the book of Hebrew picked it up. The writer of Hebrew said, run, because you are in a race. He said the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that have the endurance. But he said, you know, he said, let's do what the, this is what the eagle do. When he gets kind of weighted down, he beat his, let me back out of that. I don't have time to go in there. I want to finish this. It's 5 after 10. Jesus. Okay. He just beat off all the dead stuff. I'm just going to say that. I'm not going to go off into it. And Paul saying, in order for us to run this race, we got to lay aside.